T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tigers Orioles today at 1:10. Brad Ausmus joins us now here on 97.1 The Ticket, fresh off a West Coast trip and a 5-4 win last night over the Orioles. Hey, Brad, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing very well. A little bit of a nervous ninth last night, sure, kind of a sigh of relief when it was all over and you guys were able to not go deep into the midnight hour like you did the night before.
Yeah, you know, one-run games are always a little bit nerve-wracking in the ninth. It's just the way, that's the nature of being a closer. You got to deal with that pressure every time you step on the mound. You know, sometimes you got a little bit of a cushion, 2 or 3 runs, but, you know, one-run leads, regardless of who's pitching, there's always a little, the unknown is always makes you a little bit nervous.
As a fan, I mean, having Justin Wilson, especially even the Tuesday and last night, for some reason, maybe it's because he throws more heat than K-Rod, I feel a little more comfortable as a fan watching. Does that surprise you?
No, I get it. You know, you see 95, 96, 97. You know, I think as a fan, you think that translates into easier outs. Not always the case, but it certainly doesn't hurt.
Brad, I want to ask you about Fulmer. You know, both as a manager in your career here and also as your time as a catcher, can you compare him to anybody in terms of, I marvel, and we talked about this earlier, his ability to basically right the ship. I mean, I remember to start a few weeks ago, I think he ended up going 6 innings a game. You guys won. I forget who you were playing, but it was a game where Roman hit the grand slam. And then last night, looks like he's kind of struggling, looks like he's laboring. But then he finds a different gear. When most pitchers are losing their stuff, he seems to kind of gain his stuff as the game goes along. It's a pretty impressive quality in a guy.
You know, he did that. His first couple starts, he actually had to kind of, you know, almost plod through it. He didn't have great stuff, didn't have great command, kept yanking across his body towards the left-hander's batter's box, and still was able to get through those 2 first starts really unscathed. Since then, he's been a lot more consistent, I think. And last night wasn't from a command perspective, wasn't as rough. But he did still kind of have to get through it. He didn't have great stuff, but he had really good stuff. I think one of the things is we got to give the Orioles a little bit of credit in the sense that they took advantage of the mistakes he did make. They hit hard, but you're right. He got into the seventh inning, especially the seventh inning. He's in there facing Davis, and all of a sudden you see, you know, the hardest fastballs he's thrown all day.
We talked about this with you before he came back as far as the J.D. Martinez, Victor Martinez batting order situation. Obviously, it's moot now because Miggy's hurt. But it still seems to many of us that J.D. is probably one of your best offensive players. I know Victor's hitting the ball a little bit. Why not give J.D. a situation to have more at-bats? Is it a comfort level that guys get in where they're playing well, they don't want to move? Or what's the rationale for that?
Well, it can be any of it. It can be a comfort level. But for me, it's just the fact that you're going to be stringing a bunch of right-handed hitters together. And when you get into the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, it makes it much easier on the opposing manager to just run some right-handed power-throwing arm with a hard slider. And it's easier to get those guys, despite the fact that they're very good hitters. You know, those guys, you know, J.D., Upton, Nick, they're very good right-handed hitters, but they also have a penchant for swinging and missing at times, especially hard power-throwing right-handed pitchers that have sliders, and that's what you see coming out of bullpens for the most part in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning.
You've been asked about this tons of times, and we're not trying to criticize. I'm just curious because I think it's an interesting baseball debate. The debate on our side would be, okay, well, I don't want to face JD and Victor in the ninth inning, depending on if it's a left-handed or a right-handed hitter. I mean, I get what you're saying completely, but is it a thought process you go back and forth? Do you and the coaching staff talk about it, or is this a pretty firm belief that you've always had in your baseball career when it comes to setting up your lineup?
No, I mean, the truth is, unless you start hitting Miggy ninth, the lineup isn't overly important from a statistical point of view. It just isn't. it's just a little overvalued by fans. You know, unless I start doing something really off the wall where guys are, you know, I hit the lineup backwards and I'm hitting Kinsler ninth and Miggy eighth, and all of a sudden you're affecting the number of at-bats they have over the course of a season drastically. It just doesn't, doesn't have that big of an impact. On a day-to-day basis, it really doesn't, and that's been proven. So, could JD hit? You know, you probably could interchange any of them to some degree. You could probably hit JD third. You could probably hit Miggy fourth. You could probably hit Victor fifth. To some degree, it wouldn't make that much of a difference.
Right. What about Alex Avila? He's had a terrific offensive start. And with James McCann obviously struggling at times, particularly against right-handed pitching, have you given any thought to just basically going straight righty-lefty with them, or do you still want McCann to get a majority of the days? I mean, obviously he's not getting the number of days that, say, Buster Posey gets in San Francisco, but do you still want McCann to catch 4 to 5 games per week?
Yeah, for the most part, and that has not so much to do with the righty-lefty splits, but you know, I sometimes get concerned about overplaying Alex Avila.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the vast majority of starters are right-handed. That means Alex Avila would be getting the vast majority of playing time.
Right.
And I think at this point in his career, I think it'd be probably – I'm not saying he has to be necessarily just a strict backup role, but I think you have to be a little bit more careful about his playing time in order of preserving him for the entire season.
Well, continuing my batting order obsession, though, the way Avila's playing and the way he draws walks, would you ever think of moving him to the two-hole, especially since Nick is struggling a little bit?
Yeah, we talked about it last night, actually. I talked about catching him. Well, he's catching today, but I talked about hitting him second today as well. And I just want to get – ultimately came to the conclusion I want to give Nick a little more time. He had swung the bat so well. He's struggling a little bit lately, but I still think he can be the guy. You know, maybe if hopefully Nick gets hot, but if he struggles, maybe something like that does happen. Alex has swung the bat well. You know, there's a little bit of concern, too, in the top of the lineup when you have those run producers behind him. You want to be able to score from first on a double or score from second on a single. And, you know, if you start stringing together Alex, Miggy, Victor, you're for the most part, could be stuck in a situation going base to base. So that was part of the consideration. But I did think about it. Even I thought, like I said, I thought about it last night for today, but ultimately decided against it.
And as for today, are we assuming that you will have a closer not named Justin Wilson today? Is Justin out for today after two long outings last two nights?
I can't tell you that, just in case Buck Showalter's listening to your show.
Good morning, Buck.
Hey, Buck.
Give us a call if you want to talk to Brad. We can put you guys on together. I guess that's a very fair answer, yes.
Now, you addressed this a little bit before the game last night. A lot of people are trying to figure out why Sanchez is still on the team. You said there was nothing in Toledo or in the organization that's better. You know, Buck Farmer, Arsenio Leon, none of those guys would be a better option than Aníbal Sanchez at this point.
Well, they're different animals. Arsenio Leon is basically a one, maybe a two-inning guy. So he doesn't give you really length in the bullpen. And Buck Farmer, the one thing you need, and it's been shown, you know, you roughly need 10 or 11 starting pitchers over the course of the season. And guys like Buck Farmer are—that's the depth that if we need to get to 10 or 11 starting pitchers, you know, that's who we go to. Whether it was Warwick Sopold, Buck Farmer, you know, Chad Bell was down there. Now he's in our bullpen. It's not just as simple as, hey, this guy's got a better arm, this guy's a better pitcher. It's also what role they can pitch in and how they fit into the bullpen you have at the major league level.
Hey, Brad, a baseball issue that Stone and I were talking about earlier, I was curious your thoughts on. I was listening to the broadcast last night, and Dan and Jim were talking about the home run rate and how it's really jumped up since the middle of 2015. And there is a theory out there that something has been done to the baseballs, whether they're wound tighter or just made differently. Maybe it's intentional or not. And they really pointed to the Trumbo homer off Wilson the other night, where when it was hit, they both thought it was going to be maybe a fly ball to the warning track that JD would catch, and it went out of the park for the home run. You know, obviously guys are swinging for the fence a little bit more. I think the approach to hitting has changed a bit, but has it changed so dramatically for the rate to go up, or do you think we are looking at a situation where there is something with the baseballs and maybe they're wound just a little bit tighter?
I'll be honest with you, I don't know if the baseballs are any different. I think they've done studies supposedly in the last year that show they're exactly the same. I don't really know. The ball's definitely flying out faster. I also don't think I'd point to one home run and say that's proof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mark Trumbo, I believe he led the American League in home runs, so he's got some power.
Right.
And even if he doesn't hit it perfectly, there's a chance it could go out. I can't give you an answer. I don't know. I don't know if the baseballs are wound tighter. I don't know if, you know, the juice, you know, you want to call it a juice baseball or not. The home runs have definitely gone up. Guys are definitely swinging for the fences more. I don't know if those two things correlate. I'm kind of with you. I don't know if there'd be that much of a correlation. You know, the whole launch angle thing has become very popular. Although, ironically, I was reading an article yesterday how a data-driven study has proven that hitters trying to improve their launch angle has been as many failures as there has been successes. You always hear about the successes of JD and Josh Donaldson and guys like that, but they say there's been as many failures as there has been successes. Just don't hear about them.
Final thing from me, status on Miggy. Hopefully just going to be a couple of days.
Yeah, hopefully. He had an injury like this, I believe, when he was in Florida, and it was about five days he missed. Now, in that case, it really bothered him to stretch or to reach over his head or to twist, and that was not the case last night after he got the test done. It didn't bother him to do any of those movements. So we're kind of optimistic that instead of 5 days, it's 2 to 3 days.
And if it were 5 days, would you think about that 10-game DL, or are you based, you know, I know you had to put him on it earlier this year, and it looked like he was probably ready to go back before the 10 days, so why risk it in that particular instance here?
Well, if I knew it was 5 days, I wouldn't have to put him on the 10-day DL. I'd have him ready on the 6th day. The problem is we just don't know for sure.
That's a very good point. Very good point.
Not a 5-day DL.
It's not a 5-day DL. Maybe they should invent one.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Brad, thanks for the time. Good luck today, and we will talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Thanks, guys.
There he is. Brad Ausmus joining us here on 97.1 The Ticket. Brad comes to us courtesy of the 3-Dimensional Services Group Prototype Production Proven. Visit the number3dimensional.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.